Wednesday evening, 1:18:23. I'm going to talk about the royal law / the golden rule tonight. All right, the mission statement of this ministry is this, and we're going to read it, Romans 5:17. Verse 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Many years ago, back I guess 94, praying in the Spirit one day, and the Lord spoke to me out of this verse, abundance of grace and reigning in life. The radio program is Reigning in Life, and of course the fellowship is Abundant Grace Fellowship, right out of this scripture. So the purpose of this ministry is to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. Danny and I were talking about it today. Through music, through teaching, if you'll notice the songs that come forth, it has to do dealing with strongholds, having a different mindset. See, that's why Jesus came. He came to set us free because Satan had us captive. He captivates us through our minds. Even Christians, they're still being seized by Satan in their thinking. So the Word of God is what will bring down a stronghold. What does it do? It exchanges like the trap of the devil and builds a stronghold of the Lord in our thinking processes. Because what's the scripture? Gently instruct those that oppose themselves. Where is that?
2 Timothy 2.
Right here. That says it all. 2 Timothy what? All right, 2 Timothy 2, 4, what?
Chapter 2, 25.
Okay. All right. 24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, repentance means to just turn away from. To the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, you're deciding you're going to not think that way and act that way anymore. Or that's what the Word does. And you acknowledge what the truth is. You get a hold of what's really true. It's like, you know, the waking up period that we've all gone through these last few years. We have heard the truth and we embraced the truth, and so we came out of mindsets that we had. And that they may recover themselves. See, this is the purpose of the Word. I'm not just up here just to flap my gums. There is a purpose and intent God has. The Word is going forth so that you can recover yourself out of, it says, the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan's narrative is flying around everywhere. And because of that we've lived in our whole life, we've become ensnared in areas. And we've got to have God's help. He's sent his word to rescue us out of those traps and snares. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. All right, you're here to go through a process of getting free from the stronghold of your mind. All of us are. We've said this many times. When we started doing this, coming up on 9 years in August, we don't even recognize who we were when we started. There's been so many changes that God has made in our life. All right? You're confined to those strongholds. How you think, Proverbs 23, whatever, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How you see a person. Now you know how they think. Hang around just a little bit and you'll locate them. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You'll know it. You'll know them by their fruit, what comes out of their mouth. All right, we are confined by these strongholds, but the Word of God will destroy them. Brings down strongholds. That's what our spiritual weapons are. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that goes against what God's Word says. You know, if people don't avail themselves to this, there's not a lot God can do. There's not a lot anybody can do for a person that won't. That's what the renewing of the mind process is about, so that you can know God's will. Exactly. Amplified says by its new attitudes, its new ways. All we've known are the ways of the world, and we had to have God's will placed before us so we could know His ways and what He, how He wanted us to be and how He wanted us to act. Okay. How do these strongholds confine us? How we have been treated by others, whether good or bad, the world beats up on us, but God wants to restore us. It seems from a child, from its mother's womb, well, the child's more in danger now than it's ever been. I heard today about a baby born. In fact, the mother lost the twin right before this baby was born at 22 weeks. He just celebrated his first birthday. They gave him a 10% chance to live, and he made it. Yeah. It's in Austin, Texas, by the way. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, that little one. I'm thinking, to be born into a world that you didn't have the devil in your face 24/7 with something, just think about that. That song, one of the podcasters, he's an older guy, he's been playing that song just about every podcast. Only imagine, and he just tears up, man. This is the one I told you that's only read the Bible once in his life, you know. And but he, you know, he just you just see him tearing up. It's just, it's touching him, you know, just thinking about it. Only imagine a world like that. See, that's the kind of world that Jesus came for us to have. And until it's in that full manifestation, which I hope it is soon, we've got to have the Word of God. All right? I want to look here at the royal law and the golden rule laid out in the Scriptures. How do we treat people? Is it eye for eye and tooth for tooth? Is that how we do it? It's the way they did it in the Old Testament. But He gave that law to a uncircumcised, stiff-necked people. They wouldn't listen to anything He said. So they got a bunch of rules and regulations. Bunch of laws that they couldn't keep. That's not God's best. It was never His best. Okay? No, that's not the way we do it now. All right, let's look in James chapter 2. You know, I know you probably know a lot of what I'm going to bring tonight, but sometimes we just need to be reminded. I know I do. Sometimes I'll come across things. I say, Lord, I've been missing it on that. All right, this is 2, verse 1. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of God or faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. You know, Jesus told the story. I didn't put that in the teaching tonight, but he was talking about the Good Samaritan. That the priest, he saw a guy had been beaten up and cast into the ditch, and the Samaritan, I think there was a priest and a Levite or something like that. The priest and the Levite didn't have anything to do with him, but crossed on the other side of the road, so they didn't have to deal with him. But here came the Samaritan, and he took him, and he bound up his wounds. Poured in oil and wine. Took him to a hotel. Paid his bill. He said, "When I come back, I'll pay whatever expenses to see that the man got put back, you know, where he needed to be." But if we have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, "Do not commit adultery," said also, "Do not kill." If thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Jesus said he preferred mercy over the judgment. All right, no respect of persons, regardless of their state, how lowly they are, how pitiful they are. It indicates here that our faith cannot operate with this standing in the way. If we have respect of persons, then we become a judge, right? What it just said. Galatians 5:6, "But faith which worketh by love." So we know as faith people, if we want our faith to operate, we're going to have to be walking in our love walk. Operating in our love walk. When we have respect of persons, we also become the judge of that person. Well, you're not worthy. That's what the, you know, those that passed by and went to help the man. The royal law loves your neighbor as you love yourself. Think of that. We treat ourselves pretty good, don't we? We see to ourselves pretty good, don't we? But do we to our neighbor? Who's our neighbor? I guess anyone the Lord brings across your sphere of influence. I don't necessarily mean your next door neighbor, but I mean our neighbor over here. They went out of town one time, and they're water flooded all the street and everything. And yeah, they left the hose on, so Danny got a hold of him, and the guy showed him, because nobody could get in his gate. He had to give him, I guess, the code to get into his gate and everything so that he could go shut his water off. Yeah, they had no clue, and it was like Thanksgiving weekend, and they were gone several days. Yeah. Jesus set the ultimate example before us of how we are to live. Do you realize, as a man thinketh, so is he? So you could say that our living is just a group of thinking processes, isn't it? I mean, we have a spirit, soul, and body, but this mind here, there's where the problem is. So we're just a bunch of thinking processes. We're either acting or reacting all the time to something. Yeah. If those are wrong, then we're in trouble. Yeah. Here is Jesus thinking on the matter. We're going to look at John chapter 15. The devil would have you in reaction mode all the time. But faith is not reacting. Faith is acting. So if you're reacting all the time, your faith's not working. Not operating. It can't. Because when we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. What is reacting? Why are you reacting? Sight, right? What you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're hearing. Okay. 15, let's start with verse 9 here. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. No, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So many have lost the joy of their salvation. Things have gotten so hard, they're not happy. They're not joyful anymore because of the hard things. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. All right. This group was schooled in the law. You know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was that way under the law, you know, retaliation. But in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of heaven, it's not so. Some would gladly give time to a stranger, help them out at his own expense, but treat those in their own house with no regard. There's something wrong with this picture. We should treat those of our own household better than anyone else. We should listen to them as people of value and not discount them like they didn't or they don't matter. Sometimes we have to be reminded that, because a lot of times the ones that we're around the most are the ones we are the ugliest too, because we vent. You know, we're on our best behavior if we're out in the public. We're not going to do that, but we come home and sometimes maybe we don't act the way we should. All right, another scripture, Luke chapter 9. Verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Sometimes God will require us to sacrifice and do things. Maybe we don't want to do them, but because he asked it of us, we do it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So how do we discard his word? We don't obey it. We don't do it. Isn't that what we're talking about here? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, sometimes those commandments are not so easy. Sometimes they're just downright hard to do. Jesus ridiculed the Pharisees over this very thing. See, the kingdom of God operates by love. It's easy to say, I love the Lord, but if we treat others badly, that's a reflection. All right. If we cannot follow that, then we can short circuit our faith and wonder, why is nothing happening? Why am I not getting an answer in this area? Sometimes there can be something in the way. All right, let's look at Matthew 11. The Pharisees, they had this. They were religious, but they knew nothing about God. They knew nothing about love. And you see it reflected in how they did things. Matthew 11, verse 9. Is that right? 9. Okay. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold. I don't think this is right. Just a minute. Hold on here. I think I wrote this down wrong. Well, I don't know where what that was supposed to be because I wrote it down wrong because that's not it. Sorry. Let's go to 12. I think it's 12. I put 11, but I think it's 12. This is verse 9 of 12. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And he said to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and was restored whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. See, they'd lift out the donkey or whatever out of the pit because they make money. But a person, they treated the people like they were dogs. Or maybe they treated the dogs better. All right, now look over to Luke chapter 6. Luke 27. They didn't like Jesus because, man, he got all up in their business. He knew their heart motives. He even called them vipers, snakes, dead men bones. Verse 27, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. If ye love them which love you, what think have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Then you can give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. See here how love directly affects our faith results. Yeah, the golden rule. This is Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So you do have to consider when you're dealing with people. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, I like to think first before I speak, and I like to think, how are the words that I'm about to speak going to affect the other person? Because once those words are out, you can't get them back. You know, it's easy to go off half-cocked or get mad, you know, react to something and say words that you wished you hadn't have said. Well, you can't get them back. They've already been said. The hurt's already been done. I mean, all you can do is apologize and everything, but isn't it better not to ever say them? Yeah. Paul gave us what love is by the Holy Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it really gets in between the lines a little bit. I like it. You know, it's real easy in this life, especially when you've been done wrong a lot, to gauge everything by, in other words, you go in self-preservation mode and you're guarding yourself, you're protecting yourself because you don't want to get hurt again. But it doesn't say anything in the scriptures about that, does it? It doesn't say that we're supposed to do that. It says we're supposed to forgive. Paul says here, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I'm nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. This is how God was able to send Jesus. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As I was praying Tuesday morning before my television broadcast, the Lord brought up to me the word emasculate. And here's the meaning. To deprive of role or identity or make someone or something weaker or less effective. Emasculate. A lot of times it's used between, you know, men being emasculated by a woman, and that is part of it. But it's not just that. It has to do with people that we've had in our lives that all they could ever say to us was unkind. All they could say to us was a cut or a slight or a hurt. That's emasculation. God doesn't do that. Yeah, he doesn't do that. God builds us up and tells us who we are, and he never emasculates us. Satan, however, is just the opposite. He'll just send just the right people. One of the most perfect stories about this would be Joseph. I mean, he was a little, you know, a little arrogant there in his dreams and all of that, and I'm dad's favorite and all that stuff. But look what his brothers did to him. In the book of Jasher, it talks about when he was in that pit, and there were snakes and scorpions in that pit, and he screamed and screamed and screamed for hours. Traumatized him. And then he gets sold to these Amalekites, and then he gets sold to another bunch, you know? But you know what? God was in it. It said God was with him. He was with him in the pit. He was with him in Potiphar's house. He was with him in the jail. What happened? God taught Joseph to forgive his enemies and to forgive those, because his brothers, you know, after they all came to Egypt and the father died, Jacob died, they came and said, oh, our father, you know, before he died, he asked that you'd forgive us all, and you know, all this stuff, you know. He said, I'm not going to hurt you. I mean you no harm. God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. And he didn't hold a grudge against his brothers. Did it hurt? Yeah, it did. He named his children after his experience. One, I forget my suffering. The other was, you know, I'm exiled into this land. He never went home, ever, after that. God worked it out of him. And he allowed the circumstances to come in Joseph's life because he had to build the character in Joseph to stand in the place of Pharaoh. When he was going through all of it, he didn't understand it, did he? But he, looking back, he could say, you know, then he could look in the face of his enemies and say, thank you. Thank you for being so tough on me. Thank you for being so hard on me, because it's allowed me to become the person that God wanted me to be. Maybe if you view it that way, it'll help you. All right. He will come into our circumstances and try to tear it. Devil will come into your circumstances and try to tear you down and emasculate you. Because God says who we are. And the devil comes to accuse, to make you constantly feel like you're missing it, always missing it. You never do anything right. You're just a screw up. Isn't that the what he does? He just accuses. You're a failure. You don't do anything right. But God doesn't say that. He says you're more than a conqueror. Everything God says about you is positive and uplifting. But see, it comes back to the stronghold. When we've heard that all our life, coming out of that and realizing that we are more than conquerors, that we, you know, that Jesus loves us. Sometimes it's hard to take. All right. He'll come into your circumstances and try to tear you down and emasculate you. When we are emasculated, we will emasculate others. I always try to think about that when I think about people that have done that to me. More than, you know, they're wounded. They're wounded children. They've been wounded. I know of a certain person in my life, I don't think that person could say a nice thing about anything ever. I'm not telling you who, so don't be looking at me like that. But really, but you think about it. They weren't loved as a child. And it's not you, so don't, yeah, it's not you. They weren't loved. Okay. When we emasculate others, it's because we have been emasculated. Instead of the golden rule, do unto others, you would have others do unto you. Self-preservation kicks in and causes you to do for yourself. You're looking out for yourself. Therefore, you cannot allow God to rescue you and to help you, because you are trying to figure it all out yourself because you do not want to be in this situation, and you take it into your own hands to try to do something about it. Jesus is saying, forget about yourself. Cast all your care, because I care for you. Oh, And you can't see anyone else's side but yourself because of the self-preservation. Over the years, it's like, to me, self-preservation is like a turtle. It's like every wave of the things that come against you, you develop a hard shell. And nobody can penetrate that hard shell. Because it's for a protection over you. Because you've been hurt so many times, you're just guarding everything you've got to try to keep yourself from getting hurt again. Because if you're going to love somebody, you're opening yourself up. All right. Here's where our Heavenly Father comes in. He would have us not feel this way in any capacity, no matter who has done what to us. If you can look at them like wounded children and think, forgive them, Lord, like Jesus did at the cross. Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. They just don't know what they're doing. They have strongholds built up in their minds for years. They know no other way but the way that their mind leads them. They have no clue unless they've availed themselves to the Word of God and gotten free in their minds to view, have another view. To think differently. They're trapped. People are trapped in their mindsets. All right, John 14. But that does not give us an excuse to treat them ugly back. I mean, Joseph could have retaliated big time. I mean, he could have, he could have really, the place he stood in. But he didn't. Because he saw God's plan and he understood why it all had to happen that way. And because he did, he could forgive. All right, John 4, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. You know, when you know you're loved, it don't really matter, does it? Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? What have I been doing these 3 years? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and the Father shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. See, we're a team. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, just like Joseph in Potiphar's house and in the jail, God knew where he was. He knew exactly what he was going through. And he knows what you're going through. He knows where you are too. He hasn't forgot you. It may seem days where it seems like he has, but he hasn't. He's not capable of it. He lives inside of you. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. He's just Jesus' representative, part of the team. Others have hurt us in our past, but we should not punish those in the present and in our future because of it. See, a lot of people bring their baggage wherever they go. We must forgive them, for if they were emasculated, then someone did it to them. If they emasculated you, then somebody did it to them. We've all been victims of Satan's wiles and snares. Start every day with a clean slate and get rid of the baggage. The best way I know to do is to forgive. This is what self-preservation is to me. I believe these are like skeletons in our closet that haunt us. We are always looking out for ourselves, not wanting to experience that pain again. Well, forgiveness eradicates that pain, releases you and the person that caused the pain. Jesus said in John 20:23, we're already in John. Let's just go over to 20, verse 23. He said here, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. You can decide to hang on them to them like a skeleton in your closet, or you can let them go. Remit means to send forth. If you will do this, then you won't run anymore, react anymore, no matter what anyone does. This is freedom. I know in these past 9 years, the Lord completely set me free because I didn't know who I was. I was told what I was, and it was never one that measured up. But when the Lord began to show me who I really was in Christ, it just took a burden off of me. And I began to gain a confidence in who I was in Christ. And what other people thought didn't matter anymore. Not to be disrespectful, but just flat, you're okay. You're not what all those people said about you. You're not what they accused you of. I know I had some cousins. My mother, I remember Mama telling me this before her last year of life. I remember when we lived in Duncanville, they'd go in stores and just steal stuff. I never stole anything. Well, they told my mother that I did all the stealing. I never did any of it. I never stole anything. I didn't know that till... I'm thinking, wow, no wonder she thought I was such a piece of crap. You know, maybe she was ashamed of me. I don't know. But I'm thinking, really? Those little rats. You know, you just want to go, ah! But you know what? What do? Forgive them, Lord. All right. Well, we're going to have a little confession here. Y'all just repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I choose to remit all sins of persons from my past, and I put them under the blood of Jesus. I also ask you to forgive me for any sins I have committed against others. And I forgive myself. I am now free to walk in love and fulfill your plan for me. I will no longer fear. I cast all my care on you. And I trust you to work on my behalf. All right. God is our shield if it will ping off any offenses that might come against us. Remit sins immediately and don't let them fester. This will keep you in peace and harmony and able to hear God when he speaks to you. All right. It's amazing in the epistles how many times you see the word peace. I mean, it's amazing. It's all through it. Peace makes the call. Satan would like to keep you in reaction mode all the time. Now I'm going to read three scriptures. All these are out of the Amplified. Matthew 5:9 is the first one. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritual prosperity with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition. That's key. Regardless of their outward condition, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they should be called the sons of God. Makers and maintainers. In other words, when a situation comes, you're doing your best to get it in peace and maintain it. All right, Hebrews 13, I can't tell. Can't read my own writing. All right, Hebrews. Let me see if it's 3 or 13. It may be 13. Yeah, it's 13. Hebrews 13. 5 and 6. All right. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? He can't take that peace out of you. No matter what anybody says, they can't take it from you unless you allow them to. All right, one more, Colossians 3:15. I like that. I will not. That's pretty, it's pretty powerful. 3:15. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. I like that one too. So I always say when you talk about peace, it's like an umpire calling the game. It's safe. Peace is always safe. All right.